Greetings, my peeps, and welcome to the All Things Basketball Podcast with your boy GD. In this episode, week four, guys, my week four recap is here. We'll talk all about it, everything from Klay's return back to Golden State to inside the NBA. Saved, guys. So we'll talk about that as well. Scoring barrages, triple doubles galore. We'll talk about everything. So just sit back, relax, and enjoy the show. Okay, guys, it's your boy GD back with All Things Basketball with GD Podcast. And guys, we are now to week five, which means we recap week four, all that went on in the NBA and some WNBA news as well. I'll leave that for the tail end. So with that said, let us not delay any further. Let's get into it. And guys, as always, we start our show with Players of the Week. For week four in the West, how about De'Aaron Fox, guys, for the Sacramento Kings? He had a monster week, guys. He averaged 40.5 points per game. Wow. Along with 7.3 assists. 4.5 rebounds, 2 steals. He shot it magnificently from the field, from 3, and he was 81% from the free throw line. His team, although, went 2-2, but what he did during the week was absolutely astonishing. So I'll talk about that further when I talk about the offensive barrages. But his team went 2-2, like I said. They beat the likes of the Phoenix Suns and the Utah Jazz. They did lose, however, to the San Antonio Spurs in San Antonio. And in overtime, they lost to the Minnesota Timberwolves. But De'Aaron Fox was an absolute beast. So, again, I'll talk about some of his performances when I talk about the scoring. And then for the East, Franz Wagner, guys, for the Orlando Magic. He had a nice week. His team playing pretty well, despite them not having Paolo Banchero. But you can't put any blame on Franz Wagner. He's balling, guys. He averaged over 30 points per game, 7.3 rebounds, nearly 6 assists and 2 steals. Shot it well enough from the field and from 3. He attempted 18 free throws and missed only 2. And like I said, his team went 3-0 for the week, beating the Charlotte Hornets, the Indiana Pacers, and the reeling Philadelphia 76ers, all at home as far as in the Orlando arena, which, oh, by the way, they're undefeated at home, so bear that in mind. But Franz Wagner, your player of the week in the East. You had other viable candidates, Karl Anthony Towns, you could have made a case for him, but they give it to Franz Wagner. So kudos to those guys. All right, so the top story for me, Klay returns to Golden State. He does that on Tuesday, November 12th, a game that I watched. And guys, first of all, they showered him with love, Klay Thompson. As he was coming in the arena, you had the workers for the Chase Center there just clapping as he came through and giving him a hero's welcome. And then, of course, they did a video montage for him in Chase Center, and they did a bang-up job with that as well. So, Klay Thompson getting his just due returning back to Golden State as a Dallas Maverick. And then you had the likes of guys like Rob Parker saying that Rob Parker, he's now in the hot take business. You can't take him serious at all. He has these outlandish takes, one of them being that the fans should have booed Klay Thompson when he came home to Golden State, which is absolutely absurd. I don't want to hear the, oh, he could have did this, he could have did that, he could have stayed, he could have swallowed his pride. There's times where it's just time to move on, and that was the case for Klay Thompson, and that's okay. That's fine. We've seen star players move on to greener pastures before. So, Rob Parker, you can miss me with that. And he's been talking crazy about LeBron, talk about it should it be when he decides to retire, should it be good luck or good riddance? He says good riddance. I'm like, come on. You've been hanging with Skip too long with that nonsense, but I digress. But Klay Thompson gets his just desserts as he comes home. But he comes home to a loss, guys. They lose to Golden State in a game that, like I said, I watched. It was like watching playoff basketball, guys. It was high intensity. It was a back-and-forth game, by the way, guys. In fact, Dallas was winning at the half, 63-59. But when all is said and done, Steph Curry put on the cape in the fourth quarter and took care of business. In fact, he scored the last 12 points for the Golden State Warriors, and they secured a win 120-117. In the game, Klay himself, he played 33 minutes, 22 points. One of his better performances as a Dallas Maverick. He dropped 6 threes in this game, along with 4 rebounds, 3 assists for him. His buddy, Steph Curry, 37 points, 5 threes he drops in this game, 9 assists, 6 rebounds, 2 block shots as well, guys. So Steph having a monster game for the Golden State Warriors, the hot Golden State Warriors. I'll talk about them when I talk about my big five. And then on the losing side, Luka Doncic, he was balling. 31 points, 8 rebounds, 6 assists, 3 steals. But when all is said and done, Dallas takes the loss on the road going to Golden State. But very highly competitive game. It was very entertaining, guys. So that is your top story there. Another story, kind of skipping around here, guys. The NBA, and this kind of just came down the pike. The NBA and Warner Brothers Discovery signed an 11-year partnership agreement. And in this partnership agreement, guys, TNT's inside the NBA, you know, everybody was worried. Oh, with the new media deal, TNT's on the outside looking in. Well, they found a way to salvage inside the NBA. So it'll still be intact, guys. They'll still have it. Now, it's going to be, it'll still exist, as I said, and TNT will continue to create and produce the show. A show that has won 21 sports Emmys over the years. You know the crew. Ernie Johnson, he's the traffic cop over there. You have Shaquille O'Neal, Kenny Smith, longtime analyst on there, and Charles Barkley. And then, of course, you have people popping in and out, like your Adam Lefkos, your Vince Carters, your Candace Parkers, although Candace now is doing analyst work for the games. Kudos to her. And then Draymond Green, who pops in and out of there when time serves him or whatever. But So it will be distributed on ESPN and ABC. So TNT will produce it, but it'll be shown on ESPN and ABC, guys, starting with the 2025-26 season, guys. TNT will do no more live games. They won't carry live games. Everything will be, it'll be between the streaming service, which I believe is Amazon, along with ESPN, ABC. So you have that. So from what I'm understanding, they're inside the NBA is going to be on weekends from what I've heard. It's kind of the news is trickling out, so I'll give you more when I have the full picture. But along with that, they also have college football coupled in there with that, so they're doing stuff in that regard, especially the college football playoffs. But TNT inside the NBA, that cornerstone franchise there will be saved. So a lot of fans were worried. A lot of fans were on pins and needles about that. But at the end of the day, money talks and all the rest walks. So the guys will be back. So there's that. So a lot of happy fans, and that's good. So with that said, let's talk about these performances from last week. A lot of offense, guys. A lot of offense, and you had some triple-double performances. So we'll go down the line. On Monday, which was Veterans Day, of course, we salute, take hats off for the veterans that's sacrificed for this country and served this country well. We salute you here on the All Things Basketball with GD podcast, and we thank you for your service. So with that said, Monday, how about Shai Gilgeous-Alexander, guys? Oklahoma City Thunder, I talked about them last week, suffering the loss of Chet Holmgren, but SGA goes off. 45 points, guys, in a very efficient game. He adds 9 assists, 5 steals, 3 rebounds, and 2 block shots in a win, 134-128 over the LA Clippers, guys. And that was their first game without Chet Holmgren. So OKC still balling. Despite, they have to get creative, guys. They now put Jalen, spelled J-A-L-E-N, Williams. Now they put him at center because right now they don't have a center until Isaiah Hartenstein gets back. I think he'll be back before Holmgren, if I'm not mistaken. And so SGA just goes off. And then Jalen, he has 28 points, 8 rebounds, 6 assists, 2 steals. So guys are stepping up over there at OKC, and they're going to need to because, you know, they're without a big man, for crying out loud. And then on the losing side, Norman Powell, who's been going off as of late, guys, 31 points, 4 assists, and 3 steals for him. Ivica Zubac, he drops a double-double, guys. 22 points, 14 rebounds, and add to that 3 blocks. And James Harden has his own double-double with, actually flirted with a triple-double. 17 points, 11 rebounds, 9 assists for Harden in a loss. So that was Monday, guys. Tuesday, Tyler Hero for the Miami Heat. 40 points, and he has 10 threes in that game, guys. Wow. along with 8 assists, 5 rebounds, 4 steals, but in a loss, guys. In a close one, too, in overtime. 123-121. They lose to the Detroit Pistons. Detroit, guys, has been competitive this year thus far. I actually watched their first game against the Indiana Pacers. And I tell you what, guys, J.B. Bickerstaff is really coaching those young guys. They're really competitive. There hasn't been a game I watched where they were getting absolutely blown off the floor. They've been very competitive, guys. So they get the win here. And actually, Miami loses this one when they got a tech at the end of the game calling a timeout when they didn't have any. A rookie coach mistake. Something you're surprised Eric Spoelstra would get caught with his pants down like that. But that's what happened, guys. So Miami takes the loss. Also for Miami, Bam Adebayo with a double-double, 20 points, 12 rebounds. And for Detroit, Cade Cunningham, I've been singing his praises, guys. He's been playing well. In fact, I'll talk about him a little later. But he had 21 points. And also Malik Beasley, who has been balling for them, guys. 21 points as well. They're 2 of 7 players who ended up in double figures. So balanced scoring over there for the Pistons, as they get the win. We move to Wednesday, the 13th of November. Karl Anthony Towns, remember I was just talking about him? 46 points, guys, including 6 threes in this game. 10 rebounds, 3 assists, 3 steals. But in a loss, in a squeaker, guys, a game that I watched, 124-123, loss to the Chicago Bulls at the Garden, guys. And they lost it on an absolute heartbreaker. No pun intended. Josh Hart fouls Kobe White with 3 seconds left, guys. And Kobe White was behind the three-point line. Oh, absolutely devastating. You saw the replay. He actually got his hair and not his, you know, his hand or whatever the case. But they called the foul. And, of course, the refereeing this year, no better. So it is what it is. So he goes. He sinks all three. They take a one-point lead and eventually prevail. But Karl Anthony Towns with a monster game. And for Chicago, Zach LaVine, 31 points for him. He drops 4 threes in this game. 8 assists, 7 rebounds, 2 steals, an all-around performance for him. Kobe White, who hit those free throws, finishes with 22. Nikola Vucevic, he has a double-double, 19 points, 11 rebounds. And then for the Knicks, supporting cat is Jalen Brunson with 24 points. So that's one of your performances for Wednesday. Giannis Antetokounmpo. Guys, he's been balling. His team, not so much. Team has been reeling, but you can't put the blame on him. So Giannis with a absolutely Herculean performance. 59 points, guys. Along with 14 rebounds, 7 assists, and a 127-120 overtime win over the Detroit Pistons. I told you, Detroit, man, they're balling. They're playing these close games, and they gave the Bucks everything that they can handle. But at the end of the day, Giannis was an absolute beast. Also in the game, Brook Lopez, guys, he hits the way back win machine. 29 points, dropping 5 threes, guys. 8 rebounds, 5 block shots, 3 steals for Brook Lopez. And then on the losing side for Detroit, Cade Cunningham, guys. He's playing all-star basketball. 35 points. He drops 5 threes in the game. 11 assists, 7 rebounds, 3 blocks, 2 steals for him. Malik Beasley, I've been talking about him. 26 points, 10 rebounds. So he drops a double-double along with 4 assists. And then Taurean Prince, of all people, for the Milwaukee Bucks, he has a double-double, 15 points and 10 rebounds. So the Greek Freak goes absolutely nuclear. Victor Wembanyama for the San Antonio Spurs. He drops a 50 burger, guys. 50 points, that's a career high for him. He drops in 8 threes in this game. So you have your 7'3 guys, your 7'3 center there, launching 8 three-point shots made. Wow. Mind you, he took 16 attempts, so it was 50%. So that's great. Add to that 6 rebounds and 3 blocks. In a 139-130 win over the Washington Wizards, guys. And with Wimby's 50 points, he is the third youngest player to drop 50 points in a game, guys. And then on the losing side, Jordan Poole with a monster game, 42 points, and he has 6 threes in the game. Add to that 6 assists, 2 steals. And he's one of 7 Washington Wizards in double figures. But Wimby with the win, guys. LeBron James, on the same evening, he has his third straight triple-double, guys. 35 points. He has 4 threes, along with 12 rebounds and 14 assists, rather, in a 128-123 win over the Memphis Grizzlies, and they do that at the Crypto Center. Anthony Davis, he's been cleared now. I talked about the eye injury he has, but he's been cleared to play. 21 points, 14 rebounds for him. In a game, guys, that was, again, pretty much nip and tuck. Lakers up by 1, 55-54 at the half. And then Memphis has a nice third quarter, and they lead by 5 in the third quarter, 86-81. But the fourth quarter, Lakers take over, and they get the win. In the loss, Jaren Jackson Jr., 29.7 rebounds for him. And he was one of 7 players for the Grizzlies in double figures. So that is your Wednesday night, guys. Let's move to Friday. That's the 15th. Cam Thomas, guys. He's a guy, he just can light it up, man. That's just his MO. 43 points, including 7 threes, guys, along with 3 assists. But he does that in a loss to the Knicks at the Garden, 124-122. In a game where Jalen Brunson hits a dagger 3 with 6.3 seconds left in the game. And then going back on defense, Mikal Bridges has a key block on Dennis Schroeder that ices the game for the Knicks. So Jalen Brunson, you know, he was much maligned coming into this game. This was a game, by the way, without Carl Anthony Towns. He was out with a knee contusion. But a lot of people, I saw it on social media. Oh, he's not the same, this and that, about Jalen Brunson. Hello, he has 37 points, 7 assists, and 3 rebounds in the game. So much for that out the window. Captain Clutch is still in the building. OG Anunoby, who's having a career year, guys. 25 points, 8 rebounds, 2 steals. I mean, he's just been balling, guys. Been absolutely balling for the Knicks. His two-way play is absolutely critical to what they do, guys. And then Mikal Bridges, he has 22 points along with 5 rebounds, 4 assists, and, of course, that key block that seals the win for the Knicks. But Cam Thomas's 43 points goes in vain as the Brooklyn Nets lose to the Knicks. Anthony Davis, guys, you heard me just talk about him. He drops a 40 burger down, along with 12 rebounds and 2 blocks in a 120-115 win. And that was at San Antonio facing Wemby and those Spurs. And also in that game, LeBron James with his 4th straight triple-double, guys. 15 points, 16 rebounds, and 12 assists. Guys, he's doing this approaching the age of 40, guys. I mean, come on. What he's doing is absolutely legendary as far as LeBron goes. A lot of people will say, oh, he's stat padding. People kill me with this stuff. Stat padding. He's 39 years old. If y'all can't stop that old man from quote-unquote stat padding, then that's a y'all problem. That's not a LeBron problem, but I digress. These people just talk just to talk. But yeah, I lumped them in the same category with your Rob Parkers. Also in this game, Victor Wembanyama, 28 points for him. And guys, in 2 games, your 7'3" center attempted 29 3-point shots in 2 games. That's a lot, man. That is a lot of 3-point shots. It's a different NBA, guys. So what can you say? Add to that 14 rebounds, 5 assists, 2 blocks for him. And then the last game, De'Aaron Fox, who I talked about being player of the week. 60 points, guys. 6-0 that he drops in this game. And that is actually a franchise record, 60 points. And that record was held by Jack Twyman, guys, during the Cincinnati Royals days. In 1960, he dropped 59 points in the game. So you're talking about 64 years of history there. Good gracious. Yeah, so De'Aaron Fox, but he does it in a loss, guys. 130-126 overtime loss to the Minnesota Timberwolves, guys. In a game where Anthony Edwards, he has a nice one, 36 points, and he dropped 6 threes in the game, along with 5 rebounds. Julius Randle with probably his best game thus far as a Timberwolf. 26 points, 5 assists, 4 rebounds. So he seemed like he's acclimating himself over there in Minnesota. Good for Randle. And then also Rudy Gobert, he gets a double-double. 11 points, 11 rebounds, and add to that 3 blocks. And then De'Aaron Fox's teammate, he has a double-double. DeMontis Sabonis, 23 points, 12 rebounds for him. So that is your Friday evening performances there. And then we move to Saturday. Two names I've already talked about. Giannis Antetokounmpo. He comes back on a Saturday and gets his first triple-double of the season. 22 points, 15 rebounds, 12 assists for him. But it's in a loss, guys. 115 to 114 loss at the Charlotte Hornets. I'll talk more about this game because a few factors came out of this game. Could have tied it, guys. Giannis could have tied it, but he missed the free throw with no time left. So he had an and one. And he went to the line to convert it, and he missed the free throw. So that's your ball game in a nutshell, guys. And on the winner's side, LaMelo Ball, absolutely. See, LaMelo Ball, when he's healthy, he's one of the top, at least top 15 to 20 guys in the league. That's the ability he has, man. 26 points, 9 rebounds, 6 assists for him. And then the other performance that evening, De'Aaron Fox. On back-to-back nights, he drops 60 Friday. What does he do for encore? 49 points, guys. And he adds with that 9 assists, 3 rebounds, 2 steals. And a loss, guys. This time he, I'm sorry, that was a win. I apologize. And a win against the Utah Jazz, 121 to 117, guys. So De'Aaron Fox in two nights, 109 points. And for the losing side, Lauri Markkanen, guys, 25 points. Add with that four three-pointers and 5 rebounds. And then for your Sunday, guys, Devin Booker, guys, a guy who has to step up with no Kevin Durant there. He has 44 points, 7 assists, 6 rebounds, and a loss, though, guys. 120 to 117 loss to the Minnesota Timberwolves. In a game where they were actually up by 10 at the half, but Timberwolves turn things around and ends up winning the game. Julius Randle, who improves on the performance I just talked about, 35 points, including in that 5 threes, guys, 7 assists, 4 rebounds. So Julius Randle is getting, he's getting into the flow of things, guys, looking very good. Anthony Edwards, of course, 24 points, 6 assists, 4 rebounds, and another double-double for Rudy Gobert, 11 points, 10 rebounds, 4 blocks in this one. And then Tyus Jones, who's quietly been solid, very solid for the Suns, running the show at the point, 13 points, 11 assists, and 3 steals for Tyus Jones. Cade Cunningham, I've been talking about him, guys. He drops another triple-double, his 4th of the season. 21 points, 10 rebounds, 10 assists for him, guys. And a 124-104 win over the Washington Wizards. And that puts them at 7-8, guys. So they're in the vicinity of 500 there, the Detroit Pistons are. Jaden Ivey, another guy who's absolutely playing well. A player I think deserves some mention for most improved player. That's how well he's been playing, guys. 28 points along with that 4 threes, 8 assists, and 4 rebounds. And then Malik Beasley, who I think could be in the running for Sixth Man of the Year. That's how well he's playing. 26 points, including that 6 threes. And then on the losing side, Jordan Poole and Kyle Kuzma both have 22 apiece. And then the last one I'll talk about is Alperen Sengun, who to me, he's like a Nikola Jokic light. 20 points for him, 11 rebounds, 11 assists. So he drops a triple-double in this game, and they absolutely blow the doors off of Chicago Bulls. 143-107. I'll talk about the Houston Rockets in a little bit, but Sengun with a fine performance. Fred VanVleet, great game for him. 28 points, 7 assists, 7 rebounds, two steals for him. And they were 2 of 7 players in double figures for the Houston Rockets. So that is your performances, guys, for the week that stood out. Now let's talk injury news right quick. Not as long, but we'll get through it. Emmanuel Quickly, guys. He's back on the shelf, guys, for at least a week with an elbow tear. Thankfully, it's in his non-shooting arm, so take some solace in that. Mind you, he just came back, guys. So 2 games into him coming back, he gets injured. And this happened during a 123-103 loss at the Lakers. And this was on November 10th. So Emmanuel Quickly to miss more time. Nikola Jokic. Now, for those people who play fantasy basketball like I do, this was absolutely brutal. First of all, the Denver Nuggets only had 2 games for the week. They had 5 days off. And Nikola Jokic, he missed both of those games for that week. So if you're relying on him, you were up a creek without a paddle, guys. He was out 2 games, personal reasons. It hasn't been disclosed what it is. So take it for what it's worth. Maybe he went back home to watch the horses like he loves to do in the offseason. I don't know. But so he's out 2 games, absolutely crippling your fantasy basketball team if you're like me and got him on a few teams. And Mike Malone, he actually missed Friday's game on the November 15th. He went to watch his daughter, Bridget, play volleyball at the University of North Carolina. So she's a senior. This is her senior season. So he went to go support her, which, you know, I have no problem with that. You know, some people be like, oh, but the NBA season is going on. Relax. It's 1 of 82. It'll be fine. But he ends up missing Friday game. So let us continue. Wendell Carter, guys, who's been this has been his career, man. He's just been something or another keeps him out of the lineup. He's still out with that plantar fasciitis in his foot. He already missed the last 7 games, guys. And then from what I'm told, he missed tonight's game. So timetable for him isn't clear, guys. So if you have Wendell Carter, well, in fantasy, you got issues. Malik Monk, he's going to be out at least 2 weeks, guys, with an ankle sprain for the Sacramento Kings. Malik Monk, who was in the running for 6th player of the year last year, now it's going to miss 2 weeks with an ankle sprain. And that happened in a November 10th game, win actually over the Suns, the Phoenix Suns at Phoenix. And that happened early in the game. So with Malik Monk out, you go to Kevin Huerter, who actually has been playing well in his absence thus far. So if you need to fill your lineup, Kevin Huerter is not a bad option. Aaron Nesmith, he's going to be out for the month of November, guys, with an ankle injury. And he suffered that on November 1st in a loss at the New Orleans Pelicans. So Aaron Nesmith out. So that opens up opportunity for Ben Mathurin, who's been playing great for the Indiana Pacers. So Aaron Nesmith out for November with the ankle injury. Still out for the New Orleans Pelicans, Zion Williamson, CJ McCollum, although I hear he's ramping up, so he could be back soon. Herb Jones, still out, no timetable. Jordan Hawkins, still out, no timetable. Now add to that, my guy, Jose Grand Theft Alvarado. He's going to be out 6 weeks, guys, with a hamstring injury. So the hits just keep continuing for the Pelicans, guys. They're down to the G Leaguers at this point. It's Brandon Ingram and a bunch of role players. So, tough break. Again, Willie Green, I feel for him. With those kind of losses there, it's hard to keep your head above water. So, we'll see what happens. It's a tough situation, that's for sure. Nick Claxton for the Brooklyn Nets. He's going to be out at least a week, guys, with a lower back strain. And that happened in a November 13th loss to the Boston Celtics. Nick Claxton hasn't looked good this year, guys. I got to call a thing a thing. He has not looked good. And then you add to this injury. Not good, guys. And mind you, they just re-upped him, gave him the big money. So it's not a good look. Not a good look. And they're already down a big man. It's been a dearth of big men, guys. Big men going down with injuries and teams not being able to fill these spots. Dayron Sharpe, he's out. So right now, they have to turn to Ben Simmons as a center. Can you believe that? Ben Simmons is their center for the time being. So, not good. And then you know Ben Simmons and his injury history. So, they're skating on thin ice over there. So, it's not good. Not good. But they've been competitive. I got to say that. The Nets have been competitive this year thus far. How much so without their starting center? We'll see. Now some returns, guys. DeAndre Hunter. He made his return on Friday, November 15th, in a win over the Washington Wizards. I believe it. No, I ain't talking about it. He played 21 minutes in this return back, 22 points and 3 rebounds. And then he sits the next game with knee management. So they want to treat Hunter with kid gloves. I understand. I get it. So you want to err on the side of caution. And that's fine. But the DeAndre Hunter, he's back. So this will probably directly affect Zachary Richechet, the French kid over there, the number one overall pick. He'll now be relegated to the bench, I imagine. So, although Hunter came off the bench in that his game back, so maybe you keep him on the bench for the moment. We'll see. We'll see what they figure out over there in Atlanta. Joel Embiid, guys, he finally makes his season debut. As I said on the last episode, Tuesday, November 12th versus the Knicks at home, but they suffer a loss, guys, 111-99. In that game, Joel Embiid look very rusty, guys. 26 minutes he played, only 13 points, 5 assists, 3 rebounds. He shot 2 of 11 from the field, guys, 1 of 5 from 3. Very unlike him, but, you know, he's got to get his legs back under him. So, you know, see what happens. And then the following game on Friday the 15th, he has a better game. Played 32 minutes, 20 points, and 8 rebounds. So, you know, with a little game action, he'll round into shape, I'd imagine. But you already know he's not playing back-to-back, so there's that. So they're absolutely going to treat Embiid with kid gloves. And then remember, too, you still have Maxey's out, although I hear he's ramping up. So his return may be sooner than later. We'll see. And then Desmond Bane, he's back, guys. He returns to the lineup after missing 7 games. And he returns, and they lose 123-118. That was at Golden State. I'll talk about this game in a little bit. But 18 points for him, 6 rebounds, 2 steals in that game. So, let us move on. Draymond Green. Oh, well, it took about 10 or 12 games in, but Draymond Green gets ejected within a 30-minute span, guys, during a 123-118 win over the Memphis Grizzlies. I just talked about that's the same game that Desmond Bane made his return back to the lineup. So the first tech, it happens when he grabs the ankle of rookie Zach Edey while he was on the ground. He thought he got fouled. He goes to the ground and he kind of grabs Zach Edey by the ankles to kind of pull him down. You can't do that to guys. You just can't do that, Draymond. So he gets called for that foul. Then, I guess, in his ire that he didn't get that foul call, he complained to the ref. Ref had enough. Into the showers you go. You're out of here. So Draymond Green, he gets ejected in that game. So this is his first one, guys. The team is playing well, so all eyes is on him to really keep his composure, guys. I know the reporter at the beginning of the season asks, basically, are you going to be on your best behavior this season? And that's, that's a legitimate question to ask. Because he has a history. He gets ejected in this game. Thankfully, it's a win, but if you're Steve Kerr, you got to have a talk with him and be like, look, this team is really playing well. We're clicking. The young guys, we're incorporating them. We got a strong bench. We need you, man. You got to curb this behavior. So I'll be interested to see how things shake out as the season goes on. But I would like to say this is the last time we talk about a Draymond Green ejection or flagrant or what have you, but I can't say that definitively, so we'll see what happens with him, but he gets ejected in this game. Pat Riley, guys, he's going to have a statue added to the LA Lakers, their star plaza over there. They already got statues and things over there. In fact, let me go to the statement here that Jeannie Buss made in terms of this. So Jeannie Buss. Oh, I have to read the Adam Silver statement about inside the NBA. I'll do that in a minute. So the LA Lakers governor, Jeannie Buss, she shares plans with Riley over a video call that included Kareem Abdul-Jabbar, Michael Cooper, A.C. Green, Magic Johnson, of course, Kurt Rambis, James Worthy, Vlade Divac, Karen West, and Chris Riley. And this is what Jeannie says. Pat is a Laker icon. His professionalism, commitment to his craft, and game preparation paved the way for the coaching we see across the league today. My dad recognized Pat's obsession and ability to take talented players and coalesce them into a championship team. That style of basketball Pat and the Lakers created in the 80s is still the blueprint for the franchise, for the organization today, an entertaining and winning team. And of course, we know Riley's impact on with the Lakers. He was there as a player, won a championship as a player in 1972. And then as an assistant coach to Paul Westhead in 1980. And then as the head coach himself, he won 4 championships. So he will be the 8th Laker to be commemorated at that plaza. He'll join the likes of Elgin Baylor, Kobe Bryant. Just recently, they put the Kobe statue up. Chick Hearn, Magic Johnson, Shaquille O'Neal, Kareem Abdul-Jabbar, and Jerry West. Now, it's set for completion in 2026. And so there's no definitive date, but we know the year is 2026. So, and I saw the comments already saying that whatever you do, don't get the people who did the Dwayne Wade statue to do it. So, and don't get that other guy who did the Kobe one and he had the wrong stats on there. Don't get him to do it either. So, Pat Riley getting immortalized at Crypto Center in the Star Plaza for the Lakers. Well deserved, by the way. And I saw a guy on social media saying, well, why are they doing that? He's a Heat. He's a Miami Heat. These casual fans, man. All they know is what's happening right now. They have no clue as to what happened way back when. But I digress. Somebody else handled it. I have the energy. So let us continue. James Harden, guys, he moves into second place all time in 3-point goals made. He passes Ray Allen, and that happened just the other night, in fact, on Sunday, versus the Utah Jazz in the first quarter, in fact. So he's over 800 3-point goals behind Steph Curry. I don't see him catching Steph Curry. I don't see that happening. Will somebody break Steph Curry's record? I was thinking about that today. I think it will get broken. I think Steph's record will get broken. There'll be a young player that comes in. And you see how young these guys are coming into the league. They're coming in at 19, 20 years old, so I definitely could see that record tumbling one of these days. But Steph Curry, the rightful first all-time 3-point goals made, and kind of taking the league in what I call the Curryfication of the league, with everybody hoisting threes these days. So there's that. So a few more things and then we're done, guys. Fines, NBA fines. Haven't talked about fines, but we got 3 on deck here. Anthony Edwards of the Minnesota Timberwolves, he gets fined $35,000, guys, for an obscene gesture. What was the gesture? He put up the middle finger to a fan in the first quarter during that Sacramento game where De'Aaron Fox goes for 60. So he does it in that game on November 15th, guys. So $35, not $35, 35 grand Anthony Edwards has to pay. So there's that. LaMelo Ball for the Charlotte Hornets. He gets fined $100,000, guys, for, get this, an offensive and derogatory comment in a post-game interview after their 115-114 win over the Milwaukee Bucks. All I'll tell you, and that was on November 16th, just go on YouTube and search LaMelo Ball's comments. I'm not going to say what he said. If you listen to it, you got to like put your ear basically to hear exactly what he said. That's how faint it was. And for them to hit him with such a heavy fine, you'll understand when you hear it. So there's that. I'll just leave it alone. But 100 grand, he got fined. And then Doc Rivers, he gets fined $25,000. And this is for being critical of the officiating, actually during the post-game press conference of the same game. So the NBA getting their money all the way around as far as fines. So he was very critical of the refereeing that happened because, of course, his team was on the losing end. So Doc Rivers, $25,000 lighter in the pocket because of him criticizing the officiating. And need I say my feelings on the officiating these days? It goes without saying, not good. So there's that. All right, so last bit of thing before I close out, guys. My big five, you know I do my rankings each week. So we'll run it down. Starting with number one, obviously, the Cleveland Cavaliers at 15-0. Right now, guys, they are the fourth team in history with such a great start. The three other teams, I had to look this up, guys. The Washington Capitals in the 1949 season started out 15-0. The Washington Capitals. Then I had to look at the roster. I was like, you know, I'm kind of a historian of basketball. I didn't know any names of the guys on that roster. I was like, wow. So that team started out 15-0. The Houston Rockets in 1994-95 season, they started out 15-0. And then most recently, the Golden State Warriors in 2016, that team that ended up winning the 70-plus wins that they got. They started out 15-0. So that's the kind of company that the Cleveland Cavaliers of today are keeping. So, again, tremendous job all the way around. Kenny Atkinson is doing an amazing job over there with the talent that's there. And I talked about it. You know, he has the talent there. It's just health. And thankfully, no major health issues thus far for them, which is why you're seeing the results you're seeing, guys. So kudos to them. They're the top team, obviously. Second, I got to say the Golden State Warriors, guys. They're 10-2 right now. 10-2. They're playing well. They're doing it with Steph. Not have to have a Herculean performance every night. He had one against Clay and his team, but, you know, Steph is, he hasn't had to carry the load entirely. You know, these young guys been helping out. They have the best bench in the NBA as far as scoring-wise goes. And you got to give credit to Steve Kerr. You know, I'm hard on him, but he's doing the job over there with what he has. So can they sustain this? We'll see what happens. I mean, it is 12 games in, but if form holds, they look good. So we'll see. Third, The Boston Celtics, of course. You have to give deference to them. 11-3 right now. And, you know, they're taking everybody's best shot every night. So, Jason Tatum, you know, I've been talking about his MVP campaign run thus far in the season. So, Boston. And it looks like Porzingis, he may be back sooner than later. They're talking about him going probably to the G League for a little play there. So Porzingis could be on the way soon, guys. And if you're like me, have fantasy ball clubs, and you draft and stashed him, your patience could pay off if he returns. He's trying to come back for December, so he could be on track to do so. Fourth, Oklahoma City Thunder. I think it goes without saying they're playing well. Even now, without Holmgren, they're finding a way to win. They had a pretty solid week last week, but they're finding ways to win despite not having a center. So, Oklahoma City still balling over there. And then fifth, guys, the Houston Rockets at 10-4, guys. They're playing well. I talked about Ime Udoka over there for the Rockets, how I think this is a year where they can get in the playoffs, guys. They're very talented, guys. Of course, Sengun, I talked about him. Of course, Jalen Green, their guard over there. You have Jabari Smith, who's been playing well. Amen Thompson coming off their bench, giving them firepower. I mean, and then, of course, you have a pros pro and Fred VanVleet. Those guys are balling. So can they maintain? I don't see why not, guys. So Houston, right now I got them as the 15. So with Phoenix sliding out, but, you know, that could change within a week or so. So, but right now I have Houston as the 15. All right, guys. And then one last thing. The WNBA, they had their draft on Sunday. I watched it. And this is your draft order, guys. In the fourth spot, you have the Washington Mystics. Third, the Chicago Sky. Second, the LA Sparks. And then the team with the number one pick overall, the Dallas Wings, guys. So the Dallas Wings has the number one pick. More likely than not, it's Paige Bueckers, barring anything catastrophic happening. It'll be Paige Bueckers there going to Dallas. People are saying, oh, L.A. should try and make a trade and get her over to L.A. I don't know if Dallas is going to do that. I don't know if they're going to do that. So in their mind, they may think, you know, pairing a Bueckers with Arike Ogunbowale may be helpful because, you know, Becca, she can handle the ball. She's high IQ. So, you know, Arike, she likes to hoist it. So she could be a fine compliment to her. We'll see. For LA now, you could go in a myriad of directions. A lot of people are saying maybe Kiki Arifin, possibly her. You could go with her, who she was a teammate of Cameron Brink. So, you know, there's the chemistry there. There's a possibility, but they're kind of good with bigs as far as Brink. And then you got De'Erica Hamby. So I don't know if that makes sense. You need guard help. You need that more than anything else. And then a team like the Sky definitely needs guard help. Needs either guard help or a dynamic forward. we'll see. You got other players like Olivia Miles. That's the point guard everybody's salivating over. So that's a possibility for either LA or the Chicago Sky. And then for the Mystics, maybe they go with a big, maybe a Lauren Betts. We'll see. But, you know, you have other players that's going to be in that draft. Georgia A. Moore. You have Nisha Morrow for LSU. She's kind of an undersized forward, but she plays bigger than her height. Also, guys, Asia Fudd. Let's talk about her also. And then Haley Van Lith is like a wild card, guys. She's playing well at TCU so far, so we'll see how she plays as the season progresses. So it could be a very interesting draft. Not the likes of last year's, but very interesting. So, and then the big date coming up is the expansion draft, and I'll talk about that as we go on. So, all right, I went kind of long, guys. So, all things basketball with GD.com is the website, of course. There you can find my episodes, videos, support buttons, guys. Support this show. You see my Cash App there. My Cash App is on the scroll there, so you can do it that way. Also, guys, my support buttons are on the website, whether it be my PayPal, whether it be my Spotify donate button, and also buy me a coffee. That's there as well. Support the show, guys. All this rich content I'm giving you, hook a brother up. So I'm just saying. And then I'm on all the podcast platforms, YouTube, I'm there as well. Like the videos, give reviews wherever you can. Social media, guys, right now, IG, I'm still there, TikTok, Facebook, somewhat there. Twitter, I'm in a matter of weeks, I'm going to be off Twitter. I can't mess with Twitter. So, you know, you got other places where you could go. Threads. I may start getting into Threads. Blue Sky just signed up over there. Fan Base, I'm already on that. I'm just seeing how the traction's going over there. So, Twitter. I have no use for Twitter. I know some people live and die by it, but I'm good. I'm good. It's just too much foolishness going on over there. I'm good. So with that said, all right, that's it, guys. I thank you for listening as always, and we'll talk soon. Take care.